Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another edition of the Advanced Analytics Podcast. This is an excellent episode you're about to listen to, but I just wanted to add a caveat that it was recorded 2 weeks ago. Paul got the audio when it was recorded, and he sat on it for a week and didn't do anything about it, and so I took it off and I was like, I'll release the podcast. And then I also sat on it for a week. Probably should have given it to JT to sit on for another week. But anyway, here it is. It's now been uploaded. And it's an absolute classic. Enjoy. And please tell your friends about the best worst basketball podcast of the world, Advanced Analytics. Cheers. James Harden has been traded to the Nets. Kyrie Irving went missing. There's some debate about where he went missing to. Steph Curry scored 60 points. This is a podcast, my name, about the NBA, obviously. My name is Guy Williams. Shit, I'm a good host. I'm joined by my brother. His name is Paul Williams.
Hello.
And I'm joined by my friend, JT.
Hello. And I think you are a good host, Guy, so I just want to give you that positive feedback.
I'm doing a professional job. And I love talking about basketball. This is a podcast called Advanced Analytics. If you don't like that, you don't like NBA basketball. Welcome to the show. We've been away for a little bit and so much has happened. JT, you messaged me before the podcast with your suggested topics.
I did.
You just wrote Harden fat suit, Kyrie. No comment. JT's social media corner, hot take chicken, and this season is crazy, and I feel like it shouldn't count in the history books. Start there. Why is this season crazy and it shouldn't count in the history books?
This season definitely is crazy. All the blowouts won, all like the COVID stuff seems pretty big deal still, and I feel like there is just lots of teams that are really bad and then they're good. Maybe that's like our strength of schedule, but it just seems so wildly different from week to week. So just scrap it, I reckon. Like play it out, but just don't count it.
Paul, do you reckon we should scrap the season?
Well, I'm keen, but I don't know. Like this is going to be maybe a rough year for the Magic. So I'm pretty keen for that. It is such, like, I was looking at the standings before this, and it's crazy. Like, why are the Heat so bad and the Raptors so bad, and then the Knicks and the Cavs are good? What's going on?
I don't think the Knicks and Cavs are good, but it is weird how
They've been good so far.
I don't understand how the Knicks are good. I watched the first three Knicks games because I put money on RJ Barrett for most improved. And just spoiler alert, averaging 20 points on shooting like 480 in the last four games. So looks like a good bet. But all I saw, these are their two plays. Julius Randle attempts to like point forward it up the court and gets it turned over. Or the other play is all the four other guys just trying desperately get it to Julius Randle in the post. I don't understand how this is winning basketball.
So I just watched Magic C team versus Knicks, and yeah, it was crazy. Like neither team could score, and it was like the only way teams scored were by tip and putbacks. So like they'd miss a shot well enough that it would hit the rim, and then they'd manage to like tip it in. And it was not the best game to watch.
Can I, you're a masochist for trying to watch it. Can I just point out that the Knicks are not good and they've just had a couple of decent wins, but they're like, teams are shooting like record low 3-point percentage against them. Like, I think they're having a bit of luck to start the season. Mm. So I don't know.
I always struggle to understand strength of schedule, like, but I think they've had the fifth hardest schedule so far. or the fifth easiest. Again, I don't understand it.
Guys, I think you're forgetting about something obvious. What? The Tom Thibodeau effect, baby. Defensive mastermind.
Yeah, I'm with you, JT. Knicks are good now.
Paul, there's a bit of just to pull back the wizard's curtain for a second. We're using a hand system to talk, and JT has pointed out that you haven't used a hand system so far.
I used it when I said hi. No one else. You weren't using it at the start of the podcast, so I decided we'd scrap it, and then ever since then I haven't used it.
Right, and just for the record, Paul, Guy, you're really throwing me under the bus. I said in the chat, at Paul, are you respecting the hands? I wasn't saying you, Paul, was disrespecting the hands. Just asking, genuine question.
Guy, that laugh you just did, there was no hand, so please put your hand up if you're going to laugh.
Just everyone mark the hand when you're going to talk, that's all I'm saying, and laugh.
Now, laughs are fine, no hand for laugh.
We've all clicked the hand at the same time. This is a shambles system.
No, because then you unclick. If you see multiple hands, you're like, oh, I'm going to be the bigger man. I'm going to unclick.
So the Knicks, unclick the hand. The Knicks are the bottom of the table, and I think they'll be hitting there soon because I do not think they're good. But it's nice.
They're not bottom of the table. They're in playoffs right now.
No, I'm just saying they'll be hitting there. They're hitting there. Don't get me wrong. I guarantee they'll be towards the bottom by the end.
Looks good. Okay, that talking over each other there was your fault. You had no hand going. So.
Paul, you're just clicking the hand like a crazy person.
No, because I'm talking right now.
No, you click when you want to talk.
Yeah, you got to hit it before you talk, and then you sort of like. I think actually, Paul's your innovation is quite good. So let's combine them. You click it when you want to talk, and then maybe when you're like you're finishing your ramble, you sort of unclick like so.
Oh, so you're supposed to put it up to like book a talking time in advance?
Yes. That's how it works. Well done. You've cracked the code. Now I booked this talking time, and I'm going to say this: the Lakers are locked in as favorites at the top of the table. And it looks like no one is close to them at the moment. That's my point that I want to make. End of hand.
Okay, I've here's got my a point. Hand. Okay, JT, you go first.
Sorry,
my
Paul. That was really we handed it at the exact same time. My point was, I just want to put it out there. I'm thinking my hot take that the Mavericks were going to be number one of the Western Conference is not looking great.
No, it's not.
Agreed that the Mavs are one of those teams that is really looking underperforming so far, right? But I'll tell you one team who's not underperforming so far. I didn't really have one. Utah Jazz. How good.
they're all right. They've won five in a row, which has been quite exciting.
Six, I think, even. I might have made that up, actually. That's the.
I've got a conspiracy theory. I had the unfortunate experience of watching a game on ESPN recently, and I've got a conspiracy theory that they're hiding the Lakers from the promos because the NBA is so lopsided in their favor this year. They're just so much better than everyone else at the moment that they don't want to make it seem like a foregone conclusion. So the ad plays like, whose year is this in the NBA? Is it Curry's? Is it Giannis's? Or is it Kawhi's? And I'm like, wow, the NBA is really exciting this year. And then I was like, no, wait a minute. It's LeBron. They've just left him out of the promo because they don't want to make the NBA regular season seem pointless because the Lakers are such clear and obvious favorites.
So maybe I'm going out on a limb here, but I really don't feel like the Lakers are that. Like, they're the best team, I agreed. But the Clippers, it is criminal that the Clippers aren't better than they are. They will be scary to play in the playoffs. And I actually think likewise the Celtics and obviously, of course, the New York Knicks.
In my opinion, the Celtics are looking pretty patchy and obviously just having, issues with depth and those two guys, Jaylen Brown and Tatum are coming along, but I can't say the same thing about that guy who used to play for the Hornets. I've forgotten his name. That's how good I am at podcasting about the NBA. But the Lakers are looking far and above the best team. They're performing great. They're stacked. They got better. The players that they've added, Montrezl Harrell, etc., are dominating. Like, they're running away with it. It's a cakewalk, baby.
Harrell sucks. Harrell gets played off the court in any playoff game. The end.
Also, Lakers had no answers for the Golden State Warriors just yesterday.
Your teams, they're gonna drop a couple of games, and they have some bad spells. But AD is heading towards MVP if KD can't win it. And Lakers, I think at the moment are too good, and that's why we're going back to back when the Lakers used to be dominant, where the NBA is just doing crazy trades to distract from the fact that they're definitely going to win.
I want to go back to you saying if KD can't win it. Do you think KD can win MVP with Harden and Irving on his team?
Yeah, well, so far, KD's just been so impressive that I'm just like, KD's the favorite, but he'll probably sit out games and stuff. That's what I'm saying.
But and also the story, right? Like, to come back from an Achilles. And also with KD, it's not like he's just had the Achilles. He had that Jones fracture in his, like, fifth year. It's an incredible story if he comes back. He's playing, like, 40 minutes a game, which is mad. And he's got career numbers. So I think the story's there for him.
Yeah, right. I just think, but, like, now that Harden's there, don't you think, like, I just can't imagine a teammate of James Harden, current James Harden, winning MVP. But
I think because Harden joined a little bit into the season, I agree. I think if they'd started together, no chance. But their little window of KD being awesome for like 10 games without him, that's enough.
I shouldn't have really said the award, because what I really mean is that, like, I think the best player in the league by a mile is KD, and the second best player is probably AD. And I thought that was kind of cool that their names kind of rhymed a little bit. I thought that was interesting.
KD and AD.
Paul, I'd like to give you a shout out, Paul. A little. I want to put the spotlight on you. About 2 weeks ago, which would have been 2 weeks after our last pod-ish, I was watching the Warriors, and I thought, man, Paul is going to have to eat a lot of crow on the next podcast, because Golden State Warriors are not good. And wow, boy oh boy, I was wrong.
Well, I mean, they're still not great, right? But they're getting there. I still think they're kind of scary, because like they're like, where are they? They're in the playoffs currently. I know there's a long way to go, but and they've beaten some pretty good teams, but I still feel like, you know, like Oubre's been pretty bad. Like I don't think they've really played that well yet, other than like obviously Curry having like 60 points or whatever. You know, I feel like they're far from hitting their strides.
Okay. Well, I've got a morbid prediction. I don't want to say this. I was going to say it about KD too. I'm really worried that Steph Curry is not going to make the season. He's going to get injured, because his usage is just so crazy high. And he's coming back from injury as it is. He's older now. There's so much pressure on him to run that offense that I just feel like he's not going to last the season. He's going to break down. I'm sorry to say that. It sounds sick, but I'm worried about KD too for the same reason.
Right. Well, I've got something to say on that. I don't want to sound callous here, but Steph Curry, who cares? I've seen all I need to see of Steph Curry. Great for the league if he's healthy. Don't really care. But it makes me sick with worry to think about KD.
Yeah, I feel you.
Wait. What are you saying about Steph?
I'm saying I don't care if he like. It wouldn't be that. I don't want to even see anyone get hurt, but if he was like, oh, I've got a season-ending injury next week, I wouldn't be that gutted, because, you know, if I want to see people jack up three, so I can watch Lillard or Trae Young, but there's only one KD.
Whoa, I really disagree. To me, Curry is that guy in the league.
Yeah, that was a crazy thing to say. I don't want to see – it doesn't matter this year because they're not contenders really, except for Paul thinking
that. I think JT loves the mid-range game. Is that true, JT?
Yeah, it's just it's a style thing. Exactly right. And if I want to see like someone just shoot loads of threes off the dribble and take deep threes, I prefer Dame. He's really – Dame's a lot better looking.
I disagree.
Do you think Steph's better looking than Dame? Just pure looks. I don't think it's close. I think Steph's quite ratty.
I don't know. I love Steph.
Dame is a lot better looking than Steph. Steph is not a good looking, but that's his power has been the greatest 3-point shooter of all time, not his looks.
Duncan Robinson is the greatest three-point shooter of all time. Take that back.
No, he's not.
Stats don't lie. If you're going to say best shooter off the dribble or creating his own shot, sure. But the best shooter in one and a half seasons is Duncan Robinson.
Yeah. No, but I think you've got to play more than one season to be the greatest of all time.
Okay, let me mark it in my calendar. When can I say Duncan Robinson is the best ever?
After multiple championships.
JT. Mm.
Yeah.
JT, you are abusing that. Can I first of all say you are abusing the hand system that you pioneered?
Sorry.
Well, you guys have just left yours on.
No, JT has, because he kept on talking. I apologize.
Now, I just want to say this now. JT, not only is he abusing the hand system, but he is drunk, all right? First of all, he said it would be fine if Curry gets injured for the rest of the season, which was a weird thing to say, and it was good on Paul for calling him out for that because it was bizarre, right? And then...
Most lovable player, I reckon.
And then to get out of it, you know, I say, like, well, you got to give Curry credit for being, like, the greatest three-point shooter of all time. And then JT says, no, Duncan Robinson is, and that's a funny joke. And I, like, laughed in my head. I didn't laugh out loud. It wasn't that good. And then JT doesn't seem to be joking. He thinks Duncan Robinson is a better shooter than Steph Curry. That is the most insane take this podcast has ever had. And we're a podcast that specializes in insane takes.
Okay, I'm going to turn my hand on.
I'm playing devil's advocate. I think Duncan Robinson could be the greatest shooter of all time, but we need more than one season.
I'm going to walk off the pod. This is disgraceful.
No, okay. Like, give him. I reckon you need to see at least 6 years before you can say someone's the greatest of all
time.
He's
not even close. This is shocking.
No, that's what I'm saying. He needs to do more than 1 year of okay. Pretty good. Well, good three.
This is white supremacy.
No, this is. Like, I'm just going to give you some numbers. Okay, let the numbers do the talking. True shooting career: Steph Curry, 600.6. So 0.623. Duncan Robinson career: 0.675. 3-point percentage career: 4.38 for Duncan Robinson, 4.33 for Steph Curry. I'm just saying.
Really close.
Yeah. Exactly.
Steph Curry has played how many years?
Yeah, he's played 7 times the amount of games as Duncan Robinson, but so what?
Okay. Well,
that's what I'm saying. Wait till he's played 7 and then we can compare them.
Okay, that's fine. I accept that.
Remind me in a decade and then we'll talk.
For anyone who's following Duncan... For anyone following the hand system, we all had our hands turned on then. The hand system is not working at all. It is broken down because JT has officially launched the worst take in this podcast history. And he's defending it in the same way that Paul does, which just like Google some stats real quick. Duncan Robinson isn't the first, second, or third option on his team. Steph Curry has led a team to multiple championships.
Yeah, he's just talking about three-point shooting. But I'm with you, but I'm not counting Duncan out. I think in 10 years, it's just too early.
No, you can't even say that.
The sample size is tiny.
Right, but I've got my hand up. I'm respecting the system, and this is what I want to say. If you had to – your life is on the line, okay? Life is on the line, and you had a catch –
I'm already planning my answer.
You had an open catch and shoot, okay?
Yeah, Steph Curry.
I would think to myself, who has the higher percentage of shots made? It's Duncan Robinson. But I'd go with Duncan.
This is the stupidest argument of all time. It's because Duncan Robinson is not a primary scorer on an NBA team, so he doesn't get guarded. Like, what? Do you know who the best shooter is? It's probably like bloody like some bench player for the Wizards or something. It's like you've got to look in the context of the game. Does Duncan Robinson even start? Like, this is, oh, I just want to, violence isn't always the option, but sometimes it is. And I want to drive around to JT's house and fight him. That's this is so stupid.
Interesting headline I've just seen. Miami Heat star named best catch and shoot threat in NBA history. Oh, interesting.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
I think let's move on. Argument needs to happen in 10 years.
So I don't want to go too much about the big market rant, but I just noticed something interesting, and that is LeBron, AD, Kawhi, Paul George, Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie, 7 of the top players in the league. I mean, maybe not Kyrie, but the rest of them all are, including all of the top players with signature shoes, like all the most marketable players from Nike and Adidas. If you go to Foot Locker, the shoes that are available there have all pushed their way to New York or Los Angeles. That's crazy.
That is crazy. I didn't really think of that.
Hey, guys, I know we've moved up.
Obi Toppin, a name you didn't mention.
Apologies for over-talking you, Paul. I didn't see your hand just, but I still apologize. But I've got some breaking news for the pod. I would like to.
If it's Duncan Robinson related.
This is good. I would like to walk back some of my earlier comments.
Choose your next words very carefully.
Okay. It's all I'm going to say is, photo of Heat star Duncan Robinson's girlfriend sparks controversy. She's a mega girl. Wow. Not great.
I said it before, this is white supremacy, even suggesting that Duncan Robinson was good, and then now it's proven.
I think Duncan Robinson's definitely what I think he's definitely the whitest guy in the league. Thoughts?
Nah, definitely. Yeah, Jokic.
Nah, I think the whitest sponsor is a noodle. Asher dry noodle. I guess
you can't count European guys, I think. I'm talking American born.
Steve Blake.
He hasn't been in the league for like 10 years.
Who's the white guy the Lakers have? The new Stephen Blake.
Oh, Alex Caruso.
Yeah.
Nah, disagree.
He's not that white.
Duncan Robinson.
JJ Redick's quite white, the way he always describes watches as timepieces. That's like up there with the whitest thing you can do.
I've never noticed that. Is he like, this is a beautiful timepiece?
I made the mistake of listening to 2 episodes of his podcast, and he said, I'm a watch guy, and I should have been like, warning sign, get out of this podcast. And then he probably said the word timepiece about 14 times in an hour.
I made the mistake today of listening to my guy Terrence Ross's podcast. I just watched clips on his Twitter account, and it's got kind of conspiracy theory vibes. Like they were talking about how Netflix's propaganda is just a propaganda machine and stuff. And like, sure, like the odd thing on Netflix, but they were like making ties from the founders of Netflix, and they were like, the founder of Netflix, his great great uncle, second uncle, is Sigmund Freud.
This is so good.
Wow. And what's the connection? Because I didn't know Freud was a big cabal guy, but is he deep state?
I don't know.
I didn't know Freud predicted the advent of online television streaming and was an early investor in Netflix.
Yeah. Well,
was Freud related to the Rothschilds?
They then go into that. Terrence Ross starts talking about like the 8 families or whatever.
I'm not saying Terrence Ross is an anti-Semite, but trust me, as soon as in general, there's a general rule with conspiracy theories. At the point you start to, it's called the anti-Semitic point of no return, and it's when you start talking about the Illuminati, banking cabals, or the Rothschilds. It's the same anti-Semitic conspiracy that's been around 100 years. Well, no, hundreds, if not thousands.
Yeah, Paul, I'm not saying this is a red flag for your boy Terrence Ross of the Orlando Magic, but it is a red flag with a white circle and a black swastika in the middle of it. That's so crazy that Terrence Ross has a podcast. It's amazing.
Well, I've been avoiding it out of fear for those reasons. And I was just looking on his Twitter to see if he'd done any tweets like about like Markel, you know, stay strong kind of thing. And the crazy thing is then they start talking about like what propaganda they're pushing on Netflix. And the main example, so there's three hosts, I think. There's Terrence, there's a guy, and there's a girl. And the girl was like, have you guys seen 13 Reasons Why? They're really glorifying suicide. So the propaganda they're pushing is that suicide is good, I guess.
It's crazy. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure you could say that Netflix is definitely like progressive. But to claim it's a propaganda network is pretty full out, and worrying signs for your boy Terrence Ross. It'll be please update us on that story. Like, I'm quite interested to how that.
To be he, in unravels. This clip, he was quite he was a passenger for sure, but he did start talking about the eight families or whatever it is. But I don't want to look into it too much.
I think that the sad thing is you'd find that like. Probably 80% of the population is in some sort of, at the very least, believes in things that are sort of pushing the realms of reality and goes into like blatant science and sort of factual denial. So, I mean, the anti-Semitic vibes aren't great, but T-Ross is probably just a product of the times, unfortunately.
Paul,
you just have your hand locked on, so you're always indicating that you're talking.
I turned it off.
Well, I really want someone to analyze me, because there's definitely probably conspiracy theories that I've bought into over the years, and you kind of like they're so subtle you don't even realize sometimes. I feel. I wanted to talk about
constantly trying to get new conspiracy theories. I'm more of like an author of conspiracy theories than a follower, I think.
What's one you've been working on?
I haven't really been cooking up any recently, but you know, there'll be some in the pipeline soon, I think.
JT, I definitely believe the moon landing happened. Do you believe the moon landing was faked?
Just saying, why is that flag blowing in the wind?
Yes,
I'm with JT on this. I want
to
hear.
They used the bar to hold it up.
But it's still like moving, I think.
Paul, you've got your hand locked on. You've got your hand locked on again. If there's a silence in the podcast, guys, it's because Paul has got his hand just locked on, and we're waiting for him to talk.
Oh, I was talking. I was talking.
I think you had some inadvertently muted.
Oh, okay.
That's funny because the hand button is right next to the mute button, so it's quite awkward.
I want to hear. So JT's conspiracy, and I have heard other people maybe kind of. I saw someone on Twitter mention it, but James Harden and his weight loss when he got to Brooklyn.
Yeah, so I'll talk about this, but I'm like embarrassed to talk about this. So when James Harden played that first game in Brooklyn, he looked real thin, right? And someone put up on Twitter a side by side photo of him at in that game for the Rockets where he's looking real porky. So I texted you two saying. Man, was Harden wearing a fat suit? That's incredible. Like, how's he done this?
I believe the term you used was he nutty professoring us?
Yeah, and just for the record, I'm only using that and that example because it's the most recent comically bad fat suit I could think of. That's okay. There's no other reason. Yeah. And then today I went on Twitter and I saw Barstool Sports post. Was James Harden doing a nutty professor? And I was mortified. My takes are like Barstool Sports takes. And that is
That's
horrible.
Why you kept it quiet. And you must have been gutted when I brought it up just then.
Yeah, real gutted. But then it made me think, if you were a network, like a sports network, what one would you be? So I'll go first to buy you guys some thinking time. I think I'd be like a hoops hype, like an Instagram highlight account?
I reckon you'd be Stephen A. Smith, just like piping hot takes and who knows if you believe them or not.
I don't really follow any of it, but I think I'd be like Bleacher Report, who always do like song parodies and Game of Zones or whatever. I think I'd be that.
I would be that mental dude who does who voices over like they do like 2 minute YouTube recaps of the games, and there's that one guy who you get every couple of weeks who's like, and this week the New York Knicks are taking on the Boston Celtics, and you're like, why has he got so much energy and why does he talk like that? That's me. I love that guy.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Should we move on from JT's nutty professor gag to the Harden trade? Because that is just mind-blowing that that happened to me. For people who don't know, James Harden has been traded to the Brooklyn Nets in a very confusing trade. But basically, the Brooklyn Nets, a team that is most recently famous for ruining themselves, for trading all of their future picks for some fading stars when they traded to the Celtics for Paul Pierce and KG, have now that trade was so controversial, the NBA changed the rules, forcing teams to only be able to trade every second year pick so they couldn't make a mistake that bad again. The Brooklyn Nets, Sean Marks from New Zealand, has done that again by trading seven picks, eight if you include the one they got from Cleveland for trading away that big guy with an afro, eight picks for James Harden. They have mortgaged their whole future on the next 2 years. That is crazy.
So I reckon I'd do it, but the only thing that kills me is that it's the perfect trade if you were able to trade Kyrie away and keep Jared Allen, then that team is like incredible. But what, Harden and KD are such a good pairing, but then what role is Kyrie going to have in this?
My other thought is that with Brooklyn, I think Sean Marks can kind of bank on, as Guy brought up before, players want to live in New York and don't necessarily want to play for the Knicks. Like, you almost, picks are less less crucial for them than they are for, say, Milwaukee Bucks or the Cleveland Cavaliers, because they can get, I reckon Brooklyn's a great free agent destination.
Yeah, but so is the New York Knicks, and no one goes there anymore. You'd say the same thing about Golden State Warriors.
They're not at all. What? No one wants to play for the Knicks. Famously.
No one's going to want to play for the Nets if KD leaves and their team falls apart and they've traded away all their assets.
I think Paul's right here. I think the Knicks are like toxic and no one wants to borrow James Dolan.
Oh no! I agree with them, but I'm saying the Brooklyn Nets, if this goes badly, will become toxic.
Nah, Jay Z.
I don't know. I just think you know, star players. It doesn't often matter that there's no other good players there. Just to go and be in New York and play for Brooklyn, I think that's appealing.
So the Golden State Warriors, who are kind of a comparable situation where they pay all their money to three top players, have proven how valuable it is. Because if you're going to do a team like that, a superstar team with highly paid MVPs, it's absolutely imperative, absolutely crucial that you have draft picks to get cheap players on the roster so you can stay relatively near the salary cap.
Well, yeah, but hasn't you go?
Sorry, you go, JT. You go.
So, but hasn't it also proven the last couple of years that this is not that big a deal to have no picks anymore? Because all you need to do is take on salary dumps for 2 years, and you'll get loads of picks back. Like, let's remember, the Rockets 6 months ago had no picks. Now they're pretty good. Now they have a lot.
Yeah, because the Rockets traded away injuries. These two guys will be unrestricted free agents. Like, they could, these guys could walk, and they've got nothing to trade away for it.
Nah, but there's wink deals going on here.
Maybe. We don't know that. All I'm saying is there's a literal example of this happening just 10 years ago, literally with the Brooklyn Nets, the exact same team who have been banished to NBA hell for the last 7 years and now are doing the same thing again. It's crazy.
But just like, say KD, James Harden, Kyrie, they all leave when their contracts are up. Then they just have heaps of money. They can, I just think they can easily just get free agents to come and play in Brooklyn. Like, it's so appealing. They've got great training facility. We've been there. We've toured it. People want to play in New York. Like, all the players love playing in New York.
Yeah, but they hadn't been able to do that. Paul, they hadn't been able to do that for the last, like, 6 years until they finally rebuilt their team through drafting.
Yeah, I guess maybe. But that. Yeah, I don't know. Like, even just look at Jeremy Grant. Like, he just went and played for Detroit, right? They paid him money and he just went.
I've got an allegation
he'll,
to make
he'll
here.
He'll go to Brooklyn next time, you know? What?
Jeremy Grant is not a good get.
He's playing pretty well.
He's a fine get. Yeah, he's a good get.
Brooklyn is the... Sorry, who are we talking about? Detroit's like the worst team in the NBA. They're going to get relegated this
season.
Yeah,
but if you get a few Jeremy Grants... You get a star, you get a Victor Oladipo or something to come along. You're looking for
what a team that will be. What a team. Jeremy Grant and Victor Oladipo. What a dream team.
Okay, it's time for my allegation. My hand's up. Guy, I think you need to take a long, hard look in the mirror because I think you might be suffering from tall poppy syndrome here. You're seeing Sean Marks out there and you're trying to cut him down. He's risen too high. Give the man a break.
Yeah, well, good point.
He has turned Brooklyn around pretty quick, you know. I think he's done a pretty good job. But I don't like trading away picks. But I'm just trying to defend him because I do think it matters way less for him than it does for even Brooklyn years ago when they were starting out and they had no picks. They rose pretty quickly. Okay.
Can I just say this? I love Sean Marks. Shout out to New Zealand. What a country, right? The Brooklyn Nets were smashed into the ground. It was the GM before Sean Marks and Kenny Atchison, the coach, who rebuilt the team with good draft picks, low draft picks. They pulled Spencer Dinwiddie and co out of nowhere, right? And then Sean Marks came in and traded some of those assets and cleared the space, which they eventually had when they got KD off the books, finally, after years of being in NBA hell. And then he did that and turned that into KD and Kyrie, who wanted to come there, correct? And then now he's gone too far and created a mental team who could win this year, but I think is very unlikely because they've got three scorers and no defense. It's insane.
So just a bit of a tangent here, but do you think that the news in New Zealand knows that Sean Marks is a New Zealander? Because if there's one thing the news is desperate for, it's like tangential connections to anything happening in the world. And you never see stuff about Sean Marks, but you'll get like, if there's like a bomb goes off in Berlin, then you'll get like Tony from Martin rung up because he was once in Berlin like 15 years ago. What's going on? Do you know what I mean? You never see Brooklyn stuff on the news.
Well, I just don't think the New Zealand media... My bad. Go.
I was just saying, Sean Marks definitely gets shout-outs. It's just no one cares because no one knows what a general manager is. So he definitely gets mentioned in the sports pages, but just not enough.
Yeah, Guy, I think you were a little bit wrong about the GM before Sean Marks doing great things.
He was GM for
1 month.
It was a hell of a month, though.
They went Billy King. No, they went Frank Zanon for 1 month.
Oh, and then Sean Marks.
Yeah.
Frank Zanon.
Oh, is that Zanon. True? So how long? So maybe I've got my wires crossed. How long was Sean Marks the GM for?
Yeah, Sean Marks has done the rebuild. He's the one who did the rebuild.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah,
Frank Zanon didn't do nothing.
Sorry. I stand corrected. Sean Marks did the rebuild. I apologize. I retract.
I'll put up with a lot, but I will not hear Frank Zanon's name dragged through the mud by you, Paul.
Who is Frank Zanon?
So
that month was good, man. That month.
Can I ask you guys an honest question? Do you think a team that has got three attacking superstars and almost nothing else is challenging for a final? Because I think they can win the East because the East sucks. But I don't think they're the favorites in the East. I think it's Boston or Milwaukee. And I don't think they're a legitimate contender. I don't think they have a chance against the Lakers, and they don't have a chance against the Clippers. That's my opinion.
I have no faith in this team purely because I just think, yeah, a little bit, Kyrie, James Harden, I just don't see it. I don't even see them being like a great team. You know, they'll have guys who can put up huge numbers, but you need to kind of mesh as a team. But the big shame of it is like, imagine how exciting, like if there were crowds and stuff, I would be like, this is awesome what he's done, because he's just made this like circus show team that, you know, would be so fun to go along and watch and stuff. But with that gone, it's like you kind of lose all the benefits you get from having the circus team, and you're just stuck with like the bad side, which is like them maybe being combusting, I don't know, being crazy.
Yeah, so I can't wait to see it. I do think they have a chance, and that is the greatness of KD will take them a long way because I think he's so amazing. But yeah, I'll be interested to see. JT, what do you think?
I've zoned out because I went and found a picture of Frank Zanon. So first thing to say is that if you type Frank Zanon, there's only one image comes up, and it was from him as he's been hired by the Knicks, and his picture looks like. Okay, so imagine you're playing a game where you have like 40 photos of different men and you have different like occupations or facts about them, but you don't know anything about them. And the fact you had was the Brooklyn Nets manager for a month. You'd be like, it's this guy. He's wearing the most ill-fitting suit. He looks like he could be 20, but also could be 50. He's incredible. Wow. Yeah, anyway, sorry.
I was looking at his basketball reference page, and in his month, he actually did on January 10th, he had a big day where he fired Lionel Collins as head coach and appointed Tony Brown as head coach. I don't remember Tony Brown ever being an NBA coach. I remember more the Tony Brown first five for the Otago Highlanders rugby player. But it looks like Tony Brown only coached them for 45 games and then maybe was sacked. So Frank Zanon's one move was quite quickly.
So I've just located
Sean Marks.
He's come a long way because I've just found a photo of him with the late Kobe Bryant, and his suit. He's wearing quite a nice suit. And that was posted by TJ Zanon, Frank's brother, who's got 58 followers. So, obviously, a little bit of a awkward at the Christmas do about who's doing the best.
Okay.
Yeah, nice.
Can we stop talking about Frank Zanon now, please?
Okay.
I've got an amazing stat for you guys. Kyrie Irving missed two games and was also fined the maximum fine. His two games fine was like $800,000, and the maximum fine in the NBA or whatever is $50,000. So in that week he took off, he lost $850,000. I reckon even Bill Gates or some other rich guy would be shocked to lose that much money. Like that $850,000, that's insane.
Did he only miss two games?
Maybe
but
more, I think.
But he didn't report for like 10 days, so the fine is for not reporting for work. It's not how many there's a game payment, and then there's another payment. And I want to say one thing on Kyrie, because I actually have recently done a 180 on it, and I really feel like, I'm not saying any of the like ESPN or like the mainstream reporters are Well, I think they're biased against Kyrie, and the way they spin that, the whole narrative is about him being like, okay, let's put it this way. Kyrie's been very open about like various mental health struggles, right? So if a person from my workplace, so say someone was, I was like, hey, where's Guy? And then Guy's boss said, we haven't heard from Guy for 2 weeks. My reaction would be, God, I hope Guy's all right. It wouldn't be like turn around at the water cooler and be like, this guy is not a good teammate. He's let everyone down. Yeah. He doesn't need the money. He should just retire. It's very weird.
No, but just to back that up, though, if you are taking a mental health leave, you should tell your employer as opposed to just going missing, because it seemed like the team was like questioning him as much as the media was, I feel.
Oh, 100%. Not ideal if you're the team. I'm just saying, like, it's just a funny example of how you absorb stuff and don't think about it. And my first take was, oh, Kyrie, what, he's gone AWOL. He's got COVID from being at a Christmas party. But then I saw some other stuff, which was like, we don't actually know what's going on. Why is that our first reaction? So that's all I'll say on the Kyrie situation.
Mm. On that note, Carl Anthony Towns, who had seven members of his family die, including his mum and his grandma die, who was crying on the bench in the introductions in a preseason game, and did a quote after a game saying, the old me is dead. You can talk to Carl Anthony Towns, but he's not there anymore, who seriously seemed to be suffering from serious depression, and they just like, everyone just acted like that was fine. He now has COVID, and for me, it just kind of emphasizes how ludicrous it is that the NBA is continuing on as America approaches or has passed 400,000 deaths or whatever they're at now. And it's just ludicrous that these guys are flying around just to play in front of different advertisements. I don't even know why they don't just play in a bubble. Like it's insanity.
Yeah, so that's what I was saying when I said cancel the season, because to be honest, like, I'm loving it, and then there'll be five players out from COVID, and it really brings reality home to me, and I'm like, oh, this is a real bummer.
I don't understand why they're not doing a bubble. Is it just purely because they thought at some point crowds would be allowed back in?
Nah, I think the players won't do it. Nah, because even if you look at their statements now, they're like, all the main players are pretty quick on to come out saying, we shouldn't do a bubble. It's crazy that we should just cancel the season.
This is this bizarre compromise where they're just going to have terrible games because everyone's out through COVID. But they don't necessarily have to do a bubble, but just all – you don't play the games in, like, different arenas. Just have, like, one arena in the middle of the country that everyone flies to, plays their games, and then flies home. I don't know. There's got to be a safer way. JT, have you got another – can you bring the vibe up with a good conspiracy theory or something like that? What else did you want to cover in your list of things?
Yeah, I was just going to do a whole bit on cancel culture, but I might park that actually. so I just wonder, I've actually got something there to really bring the vibe up. So on this podcast, the most I've ever laughed is when you and Paul told me this story about Danny Green saying, you know, I had to do it one time.
Yeah,
and so I've been that's probably 6 months ago. I've been saying, you know, I had to do it one time pretty consistently since then. But I now have a new NBA social media NBA inspired catchphrase, and it comes from LeBron James himself, and it's Yabba Dabba Doo, Old Navy. Now, do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I watched that today. Unreal.
No idea.
So LeBron James does what all great influencers do on Instagram, and you just post a video of himself rapping along to other people's songs, like in the car or at the gym or whatever. But someone noticed that he clearly does not know the lyrics to the song he's rapping on at all. And at one point, seems to clearly say, Yabba Dabba Doo, Old Navy. And so people have been going back through all his old videos, just like identifying all the points where and all the times he clearly has no idea what the lyrics are. But I absolutely love it.
It's so embarrassing that people rap along to rap songs like that.
So the guy whose song it is even retweeted it and said, the sureness made me question my own lyrics. Because the confidence LeBron has when he says it.
Is that just a confidence to have? Like, if I could do what LeBron James does, like, so the equivalent of being that good at your job would be like me being the CEO of five top 10 companies at the same time. Like, in terms of his field, he's like so much better than everyone else. So does that just give him the confidence to do stuff that would, I would like be utterly mortified at doing?
Totally, totally. But I think we all like enjoy,
I think it's
the
a mixture of both.
Paul, you because are also, abusing the what? Hand system.
My hand's on right now. Yours is.
Yeah, Paul, that was you, guy.
My thought is that you to get to be like an NBA All-Star, like I think the confidence levels you need to even get there are so insanely high. But then added with having prolonged success, that just adds more confidence. So yeah, I think. I don't know what the question was. I don't know what
I'm
saying.
So, I think you're I think you're right, Paul. Like, I've always thought it's like surgeons, lawyers. Oh, sorry, surgeons, judges, and basketball stars all have to have the same sort of like unquestioning confidence. Because if you ever questioned your own your ability to do something, you couldn't do your job. But it must seep over to your day to day life.
Yeah, and so many. You know, it's. Like often the bad NBA players or the players who like flame out of the league in like dramatic fashion. So currently the guy in the headlines kind of is Kevin Porter Jr., who I, prior to that draft, I was trying to find comments on Reddit, but I was had red flags about him. He was giving me, you know, loose cannon vibes. He, you know, when a player does kind of flame out, it's often because they have that crazy confidence, but like, you know, they're not good enough to kind of warrant it.
Paul, is Kevin Porter brother of Michael Porter?
No, that's, I think he does have a brother. I think his name's Jonte Porter, Michael Porter's Jr.'s brother. But Kevin Porter Jr. was the same draft or the draft before or after? After maybe. But he's the guy for the Cavs, and he recently threw a tantrum. Wait, go.
No, I was just saying, JT, are you suggesting that Kevin Porter Jr. and Michael Porter Jr. are brothers? Is that what you're saying?
Different dads. Same mum, but one's dad was Kevin and the other was Michael. And she had a thing for men who
Love
wanted
Porters.
To name their kids... Yeah, Porters and
no, because actually she just loved
love
hotel.
Naming their kids after themselves.
She loved hotel porters, and that's their last name. The dad's last name isn't actually even Porter. They were just Porters.
Oh yeah, yeah. Kevin Porter Jr. So he recently, the Cavs, I think in the Harden deal, they acquired Taurean Prince, and I didn't think it was kind of wrong what they did. Like they moved Kevin Porter's locker and gave Taurean Prince his one, and they moved Kevin Porter to like supposedly like the wall where the like kind of end of bench guys were. And I just thought, why, like, you shouldn't move a guy's locker, I don't think, mid-season. I think that's wrong.
But didn't he
I
go mental
and
Kevin throw some didn't he go mental and throw some food though?
Yeah, afterwards, as a result of it.
So
you can't, I'm saying you can't blame the reaction.
You can blame the reaction.
Yeah, so look, this is my take on this, Paul. So I always try and relate things back to my workplace, and I thought the same thing. If I came into work, well, we actually have flexi working, but I ignore it and just leave my keyboard out every day. But anyway, if I didn't, if someone moved me, and so say a new guy started, and they a new person, mm-hmm. sorry, Paul, sorry, and someone started, and they're like, oh, we've moved your stuff, and we want this new person who's better than you to be there, and you sit with over the
Taurean
scrubs.
Prince.
I'd be like, that's really weird. That's like super weird. This makes me not want to be at this company. But so he's not at fault for having the reaction. But what I'm telling you is, if you're an adult and you throw food out of anger in the workplace, you've lost. You're in the wrong.
So time, right about that time, for the stars to roll on out.
I used to be jealous of wearing a follow.
You're taking every game personal? I'm about Alfred.
Sit down.
Wow. That is pure magic.
Heartbreak City. Heartbreak City is all I can really say. Markel Fultz out for the season. Torn ACL. Kill me. End of Magic Mayhem.
That was a good one. JT, you've listened to Magic Mayhem for a while now. I feel like every week it starts with Heartbreak City.
No, I actually think that there's been some really great mayhem over the last year, and I just wanted to actually put my own mayhem in, and it's actually very related. As you guys know, my Markel Fultz City Edition Magic Top just turned up. But not great timing. But I've actually got an announcement to make that's really going to cheer you up, Paul.
Well, yeah.
I have a Magic, a retro, a vintage even, starter brand Magic hat. Would you like it as a gift?
I mean, I feel bad accepting it, but I'd love it, but I'll pay you money for it.
Wow. No dinero is required. It was going to get put in storage. Oh, well, let's still put it offline, but.
I'll pay money for it, but yeah, I would love it.
Can I put a positive spin on it, Paul?
Hmm.
So I admit to all the Magic fans out there that this is a tragedy. The Magic started like they were the New York Knicks, like flying out the gates. I think they won their first five games. And I mean, it helped they had two games against Washington. We didn't even get to touch on them. What a disaster. But it's been so sad to see the team that was already injured get even more injured. But the one positive thing is that, like, I mean, maybe this year with the turmoil and the East being a bit shambolic and the Raptors exploding, there was a chance maybe they get like a fifth or a fourth seed. But realistically, like, this team, the future is a way off. It's about Markel. It's about Jonathan Isaac. They need to pull the trigger on some of their older and, you know, depreciating assets who are still useful. Someone might want a Vucevic.
Oh, Vucevic is like borderline MVP.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a slight overstatement.
Number-wise.
But my point is,
Sub 22-point double-double.
My point is, this is the gun to the heads that the front office needs to go, look, we're cooked now. There's no fans in the stadium, so we don't have to worry about ticket sales. Let's just right now get some young assets and build around Jonathan Isaac like they should be. It's good.
Yeah, I mean, they have been getting young assets. That's literally all they've been doing. But I've got the stats now in front of me.
No,
this
no,
is
my
the
point
big three.
Be, okay.
What's the point? What's the point?
My point was that the Magic keep on making the playoffs with these shit kickers and not getting high draft picks, whereas like this is the year to get a high
They've
draft
been
pick and also
draft
get
picks.
And also get draft picks, but be beyond what the I think it's a promising opportunity to rebuild a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've been rebuilding's what we've been doing, but yeah, well, I don't know, but it annoys me people keep saying that on Magic community online, and it's like, yeah, that's what we've been doing. We've been getting Markel, getting Jonathan Isaac, getting Mo Bamba, Chuma, Cole Anthony, but you mean getting an even higher pick.
Yeah, and trading for assets as well. Yeah, just like not the Magic have been fighting for the playoffs, I'd say, for the last few years,
I don't think it's healthy to kind of intentionally lose with young guys. And I prefer the kind of Raptors method of developing guys while trying to develop a good winning culture. Yeah, because you look at the teams that kind of do the opposite and they so often just never bounce back. Like the players suck because they started losing and they just never lost losing.
I'm glad you said that, Paul, because I've actually got a great quote here from Locke, the Utah Jazz journalist and expert. He said, he tweeted, the biggest myth in the NBA is that you can just rebuild. Nearly 30% of the league has been really bad for an extended period of time and had draft picks and at the top and still suck and still stuck in mediocrity. When you have top winning, level winning talent, you have to pay them and keep them. But my argument is that now is the time for them to move on from some of those players to get that top level talent. That's my argument. But yeah, JT, are you still with us?
Sorry. I'm just going to come clean. Actually, I recently got a new knee sleeve by the brand is Zamst, and so I just opened it then, and then I pulled out this picture of Trae Young, and I didn't know he was the Zamt spokesman, and I turned it around, and it's a postcard, and I just thought it's the most genius marketing I've ever seen. I'm going to send this Trae Young Zamt promotional postcard to someone. They're going to get the thrill of their life.
I hope I'm the recipient of that Trae Young postcard. Shout out to Zamt, and now we're giving them a free plug as well on this very successful podcast. Just before we go, I maybe there's a segment in this. I wanted to share a mind-blowing fact for you all. And I got this from Reddit, so I don't know how reliable it is. But the fact was, the quote was, the Warriors are spending $82.4 million, including luxury tax, for Kelly Oubre Jr. this season. $82.4 million for Kelly Oubre.
Well, you got a drip to get drip.
Yeah.
Just to give you context, the NBA salary cap for the whole team is $109 million, but the Warriors are so far over the top tax that Kelly Oubre, it's funny how hard it is to say his name, because his last name's Oubre, you start saying Kelly Oubre, but anyway, I thought that was an amazing stat.
Well, Kelly Oubre. But it's not just for him, isn't that just, you're probably taking the whole team's tax, right?
No, of course, but by signing Kelly Oubre at the start of the season.
Yeah.
No, but by if they didn't sign Kelly Oubre, they wouldn't have to pay $82 million.
I think people really are sleeping on them. Like, if Clay hadn't got injured, for me, they're winning a title.
No, I wouldn't say they're the favorites, but they are one of the top teams, absolutely, if Clay hadn't got injured.
Who's better than them with Clay?
The Lakers.
I disagree. I'll tell you what, Kelly had 23 points to beat the Lakers.
So yeah, he's worth back. It, I reckon. He's back, baby.
He's back. Also, we need to talk about Andrew Wiggins. He is back.
He's Wiggins back.
Is back. Not that he ever went away.
I've got a huge bombshell to drop to end the pod. I've got a bombshell. What? You guys ready for it?
What?
Yeah.
Hey. You know how we laughed and laughed about what a loser TJ Zanin is and how much better Frank Zanin is? Well, get a load of this. Guess who the head of personnel scouting at the New York Knicks is? TJ Zanin. So, dare to dream,
he's
everyone.
Back, baby. What a legend. Inspirational to us all.
What's Frank Zanin up to? Well, we don't know.
Okay, we got to end the podcast here. My name's been Guy Williams.
I don't do that.
They call me, I'm JT Zanin.
Shout out to JT Zanin.
The third
no relation. Brother. No relation. Okay. Yeah, just coincidence.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time. Please tell your friends. Catch you later. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.